Today we begin the laws of Pas Akum, Bishul Akum, Cholav Akum, Gevinas Akum. All the laws of laws dealing with eating kosher food. Okay, the food is 100% kosher, but it has been prepared by a non-Jew. So let's right away jump into the halacha. Asru Chachamim Lechol Pas Shel Oyved Chacham. The first, the most lenient of all of the issues halachas is Pas Akum, bread that has been prepared by a non-Jew. Okay, we'll see all the reasons. We'll go slow, one thing at a time. Let's just read what it says. Verse again, Simla Menches. Simla Menches. Asher Cham Lechol Pas Shel Oyved Chacham V'yesh Mikoymos Shemekilim Loichem Pas Menachtoim Oyved Koycham Mokam Shein Sham Nachtoim Shel Yisrael. There are places where they are lenient to allow you to purchase bread from a nachtoim, a professional baker, what's called a paspalter. A nachtoim here means like a palter, means a baker, a professional. He's not making the bread for his own private purposes. He's making the bread to sell. So when the bread has been baked to sell to the market, that, according to some, does not fall under the prohibition, of Chazal's prohibition, takana of pas akum. Now let's right away stop right away. Just give a general hakdama. Why did Chazal prohibit us from eating bread that has been baked by a non-Jew, even if we are 100% certain that all of the ingredients are kosher? We have the best possible hechsher. Everything is kosher, but it was baked by a non-Jew because of a gezeirah of chasnus, which means it may come to intermarriage. If we will eat the bread, social interaction, and social interaction is always the most has the greatest impact when it's done through eating. If we will eat the bread of a non-Jew, we will come to dine together with him. If we will dine together with him, we'll say, no, he's not so bad. And he'll say about us that we're also not so bad. And then after, over time, one thing will lead to another, and it will result in intermarriage. So basically, the code word is intermarriage. You can't eat pas palter, pas akum, bread that has been baked by a non-Jew. It may ultimately lead to intermarriage. The Chazal's takana was only bread that was baked by a Jew for his own private needs. And now he decides, you know what, why don't you share my bread? But if the guy break the bread for, if the guy has baked the bread to sell, then there's no concern. That's generally not going to lead into intermarriage. I once heard of Herschel Schachter speak, and he said that in America, not in Brooklyn necessarily, in Flatbush and Borough Park, but in America, pas palter is that's the way it is. You can't live, you can't survive if you don't have pas palter. Pas palter, all the breads outside of New York City, you have to. That's the way and according to Chazal, pas palter is not including the problem of the prohibition. It's not going to lead to intermarriage. We must be doing something wrong. Because intermarriage rate out in the United States must be something like 70%. Between 50% and 70%. It's between 50 to 70% intermarriage rate in the United States among Jews. So we must be doing something wrong about pas palter. Okay, he was joking a little. He's tongue in cheek, but he's saying over here that don't make light of intermarriage. Chazal made a takana. He asked a person, really? If you're going to eat the bread of a non-Jew, you may come to marry his daughter. Chazal, Yerl, Sevdaita, Shel Adam, one thing leads to another. It's a slippery slope, and they nipped it in the bud. It's hard for us to see the end result the way it is today, that we don't eat pas akum. It's unheard of for a Jew to eat, not allowed to eat a bread that a guy makes. He bakes a loaf of bread in his home for his own private eats. A Jew is not allowed to eat that bread. It may lead to intermarriage, but if it's sold in the store, then it is mutter, maker hadin, and that's what it says over here. Loichem pas menachtem oivik ochavim b'makam she'en sham nachtem yishol shol. There is no Jewish baker. You're allowed to buy bread from a baker, a non-Jewish baker. Oya filu yesh, even if there is a Jewish baker, a Jewish baker, elosh ein hapas yofek k'moizeh. You go into pomegranate, they sell in pomegranate all of the pas palter products, if I'm not mistaken, and let's say you'll find there are two different pretzels. Okay, pretzels has the status of pas. Pas above kisnin, anything which you make a mazonos. The rule of thumb is anything which you make a mazonos. And if you would eat a significant amount, you would be mechuyev to wash and bench. And that applies to pretty much most mazonos, not all mazonos. But if you would have a massively large meal of pretzels, you're mechuyev to wash and bench. If you have Everyone knows you have two or three slices of pizza, you're mechuyev to wash and bench. Anything that's birchosay mezoynes, and if you make a meal out of it, you're mechuyev to bench, is in the category of pas palter. So if you go into the store, and there are two brands, there is the yeshivish brand, and then there is the non-Jewish brand, Entenmann's. Entenmann's is full of preservatives, poison, but what? Tastes very good though. What?
Arnold's
fine. Anything, you have a choice. So what most people tell you, the goyim, they know how to make bread. They know, you know, the Entenmann's, you know, it's good.
Even if it's a mashgiach
tamidi? Even mashgiach tamidi. Doesn't make a difference. Even if all the ingredients are kosher. Unless... What? Oh, in a chnami. So if you have a situation, that has to be indicated, but that's not the way it is. All of these products, unless you get a special inside information from the OU or the people who give the hechsher, sometimes there are a lot of products in the kosher world that sometimes are more kosher than other times. And for the sake of consistency, the organization cannot issue a hechsher on the product that it's pas Yisrael. So they just, but if you call them up, and you ask them, you speak to the mashgiach, he may tell you that there are certain batches of certain products,
special runs,
or for certain organizations, like Twizzlers, right? Twizzlers, Hershey's. So a lot of the things there, there's a lot of shilas of some of the products that are made in Pennsylvania, Hershey's products, Twizzlers. So they do runs, also pretzels, a lot of the pretzels.
I heard that Pennsylvania, they don't have problems, they have other factories.
Okay, it could be. Okay, I'm not sure. But there are a lot of non-Jewish companies that make special runs for the Jewish companies. Everything is contracted to produce all of these things, so there is no difference between the kosher product and the Jewish product. But many times there is a difference, and people prefer that it's a much quality product. The non-Jewish product is a quality product relative to the Jewish company. Is that a factor in being lenient in eating pas palter over pas Yisrael? Two bags of pretzels. One is, I don't even know the name, some Goyshe brand, and it's pas palter. And then next to it in the supermarket is a Yeshivisha brand. And the Yeshivisha brand is not so good. It's stale, or it's not, the quality is not the same. How far do you have to go and be machmir in buying the kosher brand because it's pas Yisrael, and not buying the kosher brand because it's pas palter? So he says here, afilu yesh, you are allowed to be lenient. You don't have to be machmir. Afilu yesh ela she'ena pas yofeh kimoizeh, you are allowed to buy the non-Jewish brand. That is a factor.
Today we have another kula because it's all mechanized. Not,
I don't think it matters. Halacha is halacha. If
now,
the
halacha,
fire,
yeah,
doesn't matter.
All these factories, they have a mashgiach that comes in. It's not in the morning.
You don't even have to hit the button. You have to even just right.
Coca-Cola, there's a mashgiach who turns on the machine in the morning. That's all he does. And then he sits there with a safe all day.
Turn it on by telephone.
Okay.
There's also, where's the chitun? The factories out in Idaho.
It doesn't matter. That's the halacha. The halacha is a bread that has been manufactured, but baked by a goy. There's the chazal. It's like I said before, it's hard to see the light at the end of the tunnel. What's going to happen? One thing will lead to another. We'll see more. There's an interesting Shem's halacha looks like a priest. Why can you go to a monastery, go to a church? Church, they don't have children. They don't have daughters, supposedly, right? The priests, they don't have children. So you should be able to go and have lunch in the cafeteria if there's a church. You go to one of these... Go to the Vatican, right? You go to the Vatican, they have good hashgacha, and they have pas akum. You should be allowed to go and have lunch with the Pope every single day. Because supposedly there, in the Vatican, no one's married. And they're not married, they don't have daughters. They don't have children. They don't have children, so should be mutter. Loy plug. Chazal said it doesn't make a difference. Yeah.
So in the Middle Ages, there was attached an orphanage.
An orphanage, right? Because where did they send the kids? They sent to the other. Let's go further. Avul pas shol balibat, and we'll see. Yeah.
We backtrack on the Twizzlers. That's something I buy from my 8 o'clock.
With the
so
next
you're telling me the one with the that says Twizzlers.
No, they're all good.
Label on it.
I don't. The ones that has the pass is there. You ask me a question. If you go to Dwayne Reed and you buy, they have a Twizzlers and it says an OU, and then you go into Pomegranate and they have the same exact Twizzlers with a sticker, with a sticker from Pashka. So you're asking me, maybe you should buy. Is there an advantage to buying the one that has the sticker because that might be past Yisrael? The answer might very well be yes. Is there Shiloh and past Yisrael and Twizzlers? What bracha do you make? You make a mizonos. You do make this. There is wheat. There is flour.
Yeah, it's
however, it's mizonos. You make a mizonos. Is that in called? Okay, that's a very tough question. Bizman hazeh, jelly beans, and Pringles and potato chips and tortilla chips. You're right.
Doesn't make it the Shulchan Malach.
That's what most poskim say. The vast majority, some poskim are you see more often is that we live in a different generation. It's a whole different world. The Kemat today, anything can be served in a way that's Oilal Shulchan Malachim. You just have to serve it the right way. You have to present. Everything is all in the way you presentation. So today there's a trend among modern poskim to suggest that everything today is Eilal Shulchan Malachim. It's a different world today. It's not a bazaar. If you go to the White House Hanukkah party and they'll serve Twizzlers, well, will they serve Twizzlers? I don't know. Not likely. Right? Not likely. Will they serve potato chips? You never know. I don't know. I don't know the answer. But you're right. Let's see. Let's see what it says. A few interesting things.
Jelly donuts
is not subject because it's not baked. A donut is not baked. It's fried. It has to be baked. Are Twizzlers baked?
Bagels are good.
Are Twizzlers baked? I don't know. I don't know how it's made.
Bagels.
You go look at the sticker. Bagels are bagels because bagels are baked after they are fried. They're first boiled. If they were only boiling, there's no din of pas pater.
Commercial bagels, let's say Thomas's bagels,
yeah,
are not boiled and baked.
They are. What are they?
In other words, if you go into a bagel hole,
yeah,
places like that,
Boiled and then they're baked. Correct.
No, okay.
But you can make bagels
without
the boiling.
Then certainly it's a problem.
Right.
Halacha l'maisa, bagels are subject to pas akum because they are baked, even though they are boiled before. Donuts are not subject to pas akum. Entenmann's donuts are not a problem. There's no issue of Entenmann donuts, because the donuts are not subject to the rules of Pas Akum. It's not baked, period. There are other issues with Entenmann's, of Chol of Yisrael, Chol of Akum, and health issues. Addictive. You can get addicted.
Trans
fats and...
skinny, a lot of eaters.
No, still unhealthy.
Why?
Still unhealthy.
Let's go further. Avol pash al balei batim avil chavim lo hayu makilin.
When you say baked by a non-Jew...
Yes.
Again, that means the oven was lit by...
No, so it means in baked, so we're going to come to explain. Okay, it's very important. Yes, a very good question. When it comes to bread, there's something called bishul akum, and there's something called pas akum. You're getting into a very good, important point. Bishul is cooking, because the difference between cooking and baking, and then between bread and other prepared foods. Bread has an extreme leniency in that the only thing a Jew needs to do is to participate in the baking process in some shape or form, in the beginning, the end, or even after the item is completely baked. It's completely baked. And you just do something which just makes it taste a little bit better.
Toasted.
That is enough to remove the status of pas akum. Bishul akum, which we're going to come to in a few moments, cooking an object that has been cooked by a goy, there the Jew has to participate in the beginning, the very beginning of the cooking process. And it must be done in a significant way, not in an insignificant way, which we'll come to explain. But let me just give you one very important point to think about. When it comes to pas akum, it's not a matter of a Jew participating in the actual baking. It's a Jew must do an act where he acknowledges there is a recognition that you're a goy and I'm a Jew and we do not mix. It's not something physical. It's not that your act has to have any significance in any way whatsoever in producing a superior product or producing a product, period. You just must do a maisa, a small physical maisa, where you acknowledge and recognize that you and I are different. We are off limits. Therefore, if you come to a massive factory and they're baking bread right out of the oven, and you take a match, or you take a cigarette and you throw it into the fire, in the big picture of things, has the match, the little teeny splinter of wood that you have thrown into the furnace, has in any way whatsoever contributed to the baking process of the bread? Let's say they're going to bake today 1,000 pounds of bread, and it's going to be served by the Satmar dinner, okay, for 5,000 people. And you throw in a teeny match into the fire, have you contributed in any significant way in the baking of the bread? Zero. However, have you done an action in which you have recognized you're a guy, I'm a Jew, we don't mix? Absolutely. That's all you need. By pas akum. Bishul akum. No, 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 no. You must do something significant. What is significant? I ignite the flames. Or, if I don't ignite the flames, at least I put the pot, I push the button which transfers the vat onto the fire. I transfer the pot onto the fire. I must do something significant in that my action is what brought about the cooking process. It's not a matter of hakara. Bishul akum is a matter of actual preparation. Pas akum is I must do something to recognize. Yeah.
Pas akum. Let's say you buy Arnold's bread.
Yes.
Pas akum.
Okay.
If I take Arnold's bread...
It's pas palt. Pas akum is a term which we don't really use anymore, because that means bread baked by your next door neighbor. Your next door neighbor is calling
so,
my...
Now, wait. Let's backtrack. There's, I don't know if it's a dinner or dinner, in the Aseres you made sure, but...
Oh, excellent.
Eat pas palta.
Exactly,
okay,
right.
If I take that Arnold's bread,
right,
which is pas palta, and I toast it,
okay,
because it tastes better toast, have I removed...
No, no. Toasting, no. No, toasting is not called baking. No. Toasting is toasting. No, that's not called, that's not called baking. You have to do something baking. Baking, there are different levels of baking. There's well done, and there are different degrees of how much you bake. No, toasting is not, once it cools, once it's taken out of the oven, there's a chemical process. I don't know how the chemical process, but it's something called baking. And in baking, there are different degrees of how much you bake, how much you bake bread. You break it either 90%, 100%. If you come late on the scene and the bread has been baked 90% and it's already done, as far as you're concerned, you can take the bread out of the oven, you can eat, no one's going to know the difference. But it's not yet over. And you can let it bake for another 10 minutes. And if you let it bake for another 10 minutes, it will taste a little bit better for a mufunuk. And then you add a splinter into the fire, and that splinter is going to be there to participate in the baking, which goes from 90% to 100%, and that difference is a taste difference, and it's still in the category of baking. You've saved the bread. The bread is still called Pas Yisrael. But once the bread has concluded the baking process, and now you want to reheat it, rewarm it, or you want to toast it, that's not called baking. That's called, I don't know what you're doing. You're toasting it, you're cooking it. That's not called baking.
There's a company, I think, in Westchester.
Yeah.
That makes bagels that are not completely finished. In other words,
they're
frozen.
Okay.
And
you finish it off.
And the store refinishes it off.
So it's not baked yet. It's a dough. That's okay. That's okay. It's not been concluded.
It's not finished.
That's okay.
It's 90% finished, but it's not finished.
The baking has not been finished.
Right.
It's not. It's the bake. Even the dal chayr is permitted. That's not called. That's not. Yeah. That's mutter. That's not called pas Yisrael.
Pas palter. Does the 10%
mutter? Yes. That's pas Yisrael. Correct. Pas Yisrael is extremely lenient because it's nothing more than hakora. That's a very powerful concept. Not everyone is makir. There's a difference between bishul akum and pas akum. Pas akum, hakora, a makir. You're a goy, I'm a Jew. We're in different worlds. Bishul, it's not a matter of hakora. Goy has prepare the food. Period. That's how it is. Bishul is also mishum chasnus. Bishul is also. But Chazal will machmir by bishul and will makel by bread, because bread is a staple of life, and Chazal didn't want to starve Klal Yisrael. He realized that it's not always so easy for a Jew to light up the fires of the bakery. It's very easy for a Jew. I think the Chassam Sofer would every day pass the bakery, and he would throw a splinter from a distance. He would throw a splinter into the furnace in the bakery. He would finish davening and running on the way. They would light up the oven. The whole community Pressburg, they ate from the bakery, a Goyish bakery. On the way to davening, they got the oven. They were first. He threw in the splinter. That's it. The whole gold pasta straw for the whole day. Seems not. It seems that the ingredients were kosher ingredients. It wasn't such an issue.
No, I'm saying even without a mashgiach. We're not dealing
because today food technology, due to everything is so complicated today. Years ago, 100 years ago, what was the big deal? What was it? You have grain, you have water, you have salt. Where is the tarfus? Even 50 years ago, you go into the pharmacy. You want to buy a candy bar. So you just look. You look on the back label. You look for certain ingredients, and you know if it's kosher or not kosher. Not anymore today. Today it's not like that. Today it's much more complicated. It's not because today things were more firmer. It's not because
today we eat a lot of tarpers.
Ah, no. When I was a kid, we would buy things based on ingredients. Exactly. We would buy goyish things based on ingredients.
Vegetable shortening, that was it.
Sure.
But bread is not so simple, because there's a thing called broad bread. In other words,
today it's a new world. Today you have to have a Hechsher. No one's going to eat today, especially not in Brooklyn.
You
need
a Hechsher in Pressburg also, because the Goyish baker could have put lard in the baking.
No, he didn't want to spool his business.
It's
just that the baker, let's say you have a Jewish bakery where the owner is Jewish, but the bakers themselves.
Doesn't make a difference. All that makes a difference is who lights the fire. Doesn't make it. It's not like Tfilas Kalim. We learned yesterday. You have Tfilas Kalim. We learned the main thing is whoever owns the factory is a utensil required Tfila. So Meikar Hadin. We learned Machlekes between the Kitzer and the Dark Yeshuva. I think Machlekes is who. If you need Tfila on a kli that was made by a guy but is owned by a Jew, the factory is owned by a Jew. But the workers are goyim, and we're dealing with a shop that closed on Shabbos. It has a Shem Yisrael, a factory that everyone knows this factory is owned by a Jew. But every single worker in the factory is a goy. Do the kelim require tefillah? Halacha l'mayis machlekes apayis, according to some, it does not. It's owned by a Jew, and everyone knows it's a Jew. You don't require tefillah. Sama machmir, you need tefillah without a bracha, because soif kol soif, the ones who are making or manufacturing the kelim are goyim. That's not true when it comes to pas. Pas, the only thing that counts is the one who actually bakes the bread. Talk about if you have a house, maids. Today, you can't make a parnasa, one just a husband, more husband. Today, almost every wife works. So who takes care of the children? People who are matzliach, they have goyim who work in the house, and they do all the cooking and all the baking and all everything. Big problem. It's a very, very big problem, and especially today, there's no longer pilot lights. It used to be at least had a pilot light. So then anything that they do, what's the problem? The pilot light is the Jew lit the pilot light. Today, there are no more pilot lights. Mm-hmm. All the modern appliances today, they're not pilot lights. Who has a pilot light today? You have an old stove.
Yes, I have an old stove.
I don't even know they make it. They still make stove with pilot lights today?
No.
It's illegal. Ad kedei kach. How when did it become illegal?
It's illegal. You cannot manufacture.
When did this happen? It became illegal to make a stove with a pilot light.
You cannot buy stove now with
pilot. Really? I am.
Okay, so it's a whole new world today. So today, the guy today, what do? It's a big, big problem. You cannot let a non-Jew cook, put up dinner, because putting up dinner, even a microwave is a very big shaila. It's a whole different. A lot of guy warm up, cook something, prepare food in the microwave.
Warming up is mut.
Once something is frozen, it's already been cooked, and the only warming up that's mutter. But to take an egg, can't do it.
You have to light the fire,
or you have to light the fire, or at least yeah. So you
now hold a sign on the oven says in the morning that a Jew must light the.
Yeah,
they're
telling the workers.
It says it. To remind the workers, okay.
You can't read English.
Okay, let's go further.
So you put it in Spanish.
The Sfardim hold the Beis Yosef, and he says that the whole Bishul has to be by you.
Oh, the Sfardim are more machmir. The Sfardim are more machmir. All of these in Yonim here.
You ask him, he'll put it in himself. Here.
Really?
Yeah,
the Sfardim.
You ask him, he puts it in himself.
The Jew puts it in. That's not the guy. Wow. Okay. The Sfardim, Derech Klal, all of these halachas, the Sfardim are more machmir. Their standards are much higher than, not much, but are significantly higher by Bishul Akum than they are by for Ashkenazim. Okay, we'll see. That's one thing. You have a neighbor next door, and the neighbor says, come into my home, I bake some delicious bread. Let me give you a slice of my bread. And you know that the bread is 100% kosher, it does not matter. That is the real deal. That is Pas Akum. That's not called Pas Palter. Ach, b'shas hadchak. Now it's very interesting. There are different editions of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Some editions have ach b'shas hadchak part of the previous sentence, and some have it ach b'shas hadchak as part of the next sentence. So here, if we read it part of the previous sentence, it says avol pashal balabatim, avicham lo hayu makilim, ach b'shas hadchak, even b'shas hadchak. Period. Basically, would that mean afilu? However, in other editions it says no, lo yimikin period, and it's not mean now. Ach b'shas hadchak or umi shayi b'derech im yochol lahasig pas kosher tzarch lahamtin ad parsa. If you can receive you're on the road. And you're able to receive pas kosher tzorch lahamdin ad parsa v'lemikri pas balabayis. So he's saying over here is that there are times when you can be makel. You can be makel to eat pas akum. There are exceptions to the rule. The exceptions to the rule are b'shas hatchak, or a person is traveling, and there's nothing else, then you are allowed to eat pas akum. The only time you have to be machmir is if you're able to attain pas yisrael within a certain period of time. Im yochol lahasig pas kosher tzorch lahamtin ad parsa. The amount of time it takes to walk a parsa. Parsa is 22 minutes. It takes 22 minutes, between 8 and 22 minutes. If you're able, the amount of time, if you're able to travel and spend time, 22 minutes to get pas yisrael over pas. Pas akum, you're mechuyev to wait 22 minutes or to travel a distance of 22 minutes to receive the pas Yisrael and not eat pas akum. V'loy mikri pas balabayis. What is called pas balabayis? Ela im aso b'shvil b'nei beis. So if the guy made the pas for his own family, avlam aso limkar mikri nachtoim. But if a guy baked in his own private home bread with the intent to sell, he never intended this bread to be by his family. Though it's not his custom to do so, that automatically is a leniency, and then you are allowed to eat from the non-Jews' bread. Let's say the baker. You go to a bakery, and in the bakery, the bakery, for whatever reason, he's making the bread for his own family, and you want to buy it. That automatically is called pas akum, and it's osur if there is another option available. In a situation where there is no baker, and then is an exception, you can eat even bread from a non-Jew. So he brings it over here that he's very lenient. When it comes to pas akum, if you are in a situation where there is no pas palter, and there is no pas, certainly there's no pas Yisrael, then you can be makel, you can even eat pas akum. The Chazal were very lenient in this situation. So let's see the She'anim said halacha, very interesting halacha aleph about eating in a church. Lechol pasakum tam ha'iser hu mishum chasmus. It may lead into marriage. K'ma shekosa abishas v'chosav ramah. Even where there's no chash of chasnus, for example, also going past hakoimrim, the bread of a priest. Sheilochem bon, they have no children. They pass an asa beis hamelach lasam shem lo yischad mimanu. It's low class for someone in the upper echelons of society to marry a Jew. They would never. Someone in the king's palace would never consider marrying a Jew. Doesn't matter. Afilu hachi asur. It's also because of loy pluk v'yayim pischei tshuva. Sham, the pashal mumar, big shiloh. What about the pas of a Jew who went off the derech? A Jew for Jay. Are you allowed to eat bread owned by a bakery that has a good hashkacha, but It's Jew for Jay, or private, so it's a mummer, mamish. Shari, the mishum, why? Because you're allowed to marry him. Believe it or not, no discrimination.
You've got to give this to the
Shadchan. Halavai, you should marry the mummer, marry the mummer, then marry a shiksa. Okay, a person that's a mummer at least is Jewish. The children will be Jewish. The marrying a guy is worse. Shari, the mishum, chasnus leka. The avapi is shachota. Even though he has sinned, Yisraelu umut elisabita, unbelievable halacha, paschal mumer. There is no issue whatsoever because you're allowed. There's no iser chasnas. The ayin which I'm sure was Maharam Shik. Shem Fachnik b'zeh. He is not so happy with this. He disagrees. He holds that a mumer has the status of a goy. The avi raya miran. The mumer afshle gozral b'noisav. Even though we are not goys, there's no prohibition to marry the daughter of a mumer. However, mikomakom came in the goy who bechlal agzeru. Since a mumer in halacha, a mumer is dinoi ki goy. His status, his halachic status, like a guy. So just like a guy, you're not allowed. It's a loy pluk. It's a catch-all. Even though it's true, the halacha, the ikar halacha, was because of chasnus. But once the halacha went into effect for a guy, automatically it goes into effect for anyone that has a din like a guy. Even though the tam does not necessarily apply to that particular person. That a mumer is also. You may not eat the pas of a mumer when there is pas palter or pas yisrael available. Or the shalos shuvus toiv tum tam v'das. That guy in a he's not a mumer. He's a good guy. It's in a but he's a mechal shabbos b'fares. He's not shemesh shabbos mitzvos. Also lechem mibishul mipitom. Very machmir that it's bad signals to go eat his bread. Or the shal shuvus mari Ashkenazi daito lahakol is mekel when it's a tinik shenishba. He's not a lahachistik. He's not a mumer. It's mutter. V'adavet holi imuhu mechal shabbos lahachis eloi. All depends. The tinik shenishba is lahachis. Avayin l'kamon. So if the machlokes are placed, what is the exact status of these type of people? Is there an issue of pas? If your next door neighbor who is a Mechal Shabbos but is a good guy, he's al hachis, gives you a piece of bread, are you allowed to eat the piece of bread knowing that it is kosher? Okay, beis. But Malkam Shenachtam Yisrael, in a place where there is no baker of Yisrael, Shas Hatchak, you are allowed to eat Pas Akum. Shas Hatchak, if there's no other option available, you are allowed to eat bread. Ayin Yeshuas Yaakov, the Kehila Ketayish of Lvov, in Lemberg, Nisiasir Haminik, the Biyam Rishonach Archaga Pesach, the Adayin Pas Yisrael in Benimsa, only finish. On the day after Pesach, when the bakeries had a hard time getting up. See, today the pizza shops are open already, Mitzvah Shabbos, so you're up to 5 minutes.
We're up to the Arabs.
Yeah.
The Adayin Pas Yisrael Ein Benim So L'Sibas Chamei Shavol V'Pesach Loichem Yipalter Akum The Damei Kemoi She'ein Motzei Palter Yisrael V'Hevi Raiyas V'Smuch L'Aminok Ayin Sham. That the meaning in Pressburg by the Chassam Sofer is that the day after Pesach people need to eat bread. And there was no Pas Yisrael available the day after Pesach, because the Chomet Shalom Pesach, that's the way it was set up. Okay, today obviously in the New York and Brooklyn it's a little bit easier, but therefore they ate the day after Pesach Pas Palter. It does not say they ate Pas Akum, that doesn't say, okay, then it doesn't say that, but they did eat Pas Palter. Okay, Gimel. Gimel is Im Yisrael. Let's go with halacha base. Im Yisrael hishlech afilu rak eats echol lesechatan behesekoi muter hapas v'loy havi pas oyved koychavim. Even the smallest action is enough to take away the status of pas. A little stick. Bizman hazeh, even turning the flame up. Okay, halacha lemayis. So you don't have to even turn. You don't have to turn the flame. You just turn the mashu higher. That already is a meisen action in which you have acknowledged that we come from different worlds, we're different one, you may not mix. Gimel in the bottom. Im Yisrael Heshlich, Ayin Yisrael Shuvus Avnezer, the Yesh Takon Libishl al Bishl Akum, that is Bishl, okay, he's even as a Bishl, Shiitzlenu Yisrael Akakach, that is a Takon of a Bishl Akum. He's bringing in the Takon, which is the controversial Takon, which we'll discuss, is roasting. Let's say food has been cooked by a guy. Bishlakum, it's awesome, it's off limits. Now I will do tzli. I will roast it. Does the tzli achar habishl take off the status of bishlakum? Food that has been prepared by a guy, that's been cooked by a guy. And now I don't want to throw it in the garbage, I want to eat it. So I'm gonna roast it. All the way around. Let's say the guy roasted some meat for you and you want to eat it. So what can you do? How can you save it? You can now cook it. We paskin yesh tzli achar bishl v'yesh bishl achar tzli. We don't consider them to be exactly the same thing, and therefore the status has changed. V'chein pas akum. Here comes the very big kiddush. When it comes to pas akum, in bishlo yisrael achar kach v'chozer v'alfo. If yisrael v'alfo. So he says that if Yisrael cooked it, achar kach v'chozar v'chein pasakum in bishl Yisrael achar kach, if he cooked it and then he baked it, yesh lahat. You have to do two steps. A guy bakes bread. Okay, you have a loaf of bread that has been baked. It comes from a goysha bakery, or a goysha, not a bakery is okay. A goysha home, a goysha pasakum, and then you cook it. Here what you do, you take the bread and you soak it in water. You cook it. And then after you cook it, you bake it. How does that taste? I don't know.
You put it in the microwave. You put it with water on it. You put it in the microwave. And then you
throw That's it called cooking it?
You cook it? Microwave is considered cooking, then it should be no problem.
I don't know. I don't know the details. So he holds that it is ein afia alumnus. There's no afia achar afia. That we have passed. There's ein bishl achar bishl. There's no afia achar afia. But there's bishul achar afia, that counts. If you cook something, so there's alumnus. So what you do is you have bread that was baked, so now you do bishul achar afia, and then there's afia achar bishul. So basically the bread was baked twice. I don't know how it tastes, okay? I don't know the exact technique, but this, he says, is a solution. V'yayim darkei tshuva shehevi gamken b'kezeh b'sefer etz chayim v'chu hevi sham chevel shel acharonim. He brings a whole collection, a whole bundle of achronim that give you the solution. They disagree. Okay, they disagree. Not everyone is so filled with the solution of doing bishul achar afia and then doing an afia achar bishul. Machlekes HaPoskim brings a whole collection of people that say that it's not such a good idea. Let's do the next halacha. Halacha gimel. Only comes to five types of grain. Aval, pas, kidneyos, but bean, kidneyos, eina, bichlal, pas. Eina, also, mishum, bishul, v'chavim, docha, eina, oilal, shulcham, olachim, pas, kidneyos, bread made from beans. I don't know what kind of bread this is. Anyone familiar with this?
Rice is not from the five grains.
That's right, rice is not from the five grains. So there's no din of bishulakum, there's no din of pasakum when it comes to rice. And also, there's no din of another condition of bishul. Now he's now getting into bishul, which we'll get to in a few moments. Bishul of only time bishulak applies is something which is oile al shulchan milachim. It has to be something
cornbread,
because it's not from the fire. It's not anything made from soy is not pasakum.
Because
pat kidneys. No, that's only in past kidneys. No, that's only past kidneys. Because past kidneys, he says, in his time, was not oil al shulch malachim. It's very tricky. Very tricky. I don't know. Not so simple. Yeah. It's past kidneys, soy bread. I don't even know what it is. But you go to the White House, they're not going to serve.
They have cutlets made out of soy.
So maybe it is. And Hanami, so times have changed. Times.
Cornbread.
I saw somewhere. Where I'm trying to remember where I saw. That Bisman has said the whole Indian of Eina Shulchan Malachim is a very questionable thing. It's a whole different world today. Whole different world today. Today all the kings are very accommodating. You have a state dinner. They'll accommodate you. Whatever your diet is, they'll make it for you. And even in the most chush of a state dinner in the White House, look, they give kosher. In fact, they give kosher for sometimes for the whole everyone. I read about the Hanukkah, the history of the Hanukkah, party. It used to be the first Hanukkah party that was made by Bush, by the second Bush, Bush W. So the first Hanukkah party, there was kosher and non-kosher. And what happened?
Mixed up.
It got mixed up. It got mixed up. No. It got mixed up. And some of the Jewish guests, by mistake, ate non-kosher. That's what it says. They ate non-kosher. So Mikanul Haba, the second year, Bush decided, because of what happened with the Harpa, only kosher. And now it's glatt. Everything there is glatt kosher.
Well, Bloomberg started every year. He had the meet and greet night at the Gracie Mansion.
And it's a kosher?
Yeah, glatt.
Glatt kosher?
All the grave caterers.
Surprised. I'm surprised that a Jew would be so accommodating. I'm surprised that a Jew would be so accommodating.
Well, then you get to shake hands with the, you know.
With all the celebrities.
Yeah, look at him, just stick out your hand.
Yeah, but sometimes there's a problem with that, because if you can't have food outside, and they come in platters. And
yeah, everything's on shaving dishes. But they're bringing it in on trucks.
It's butter should have solved the iron, you know.
No. Everybody there is...
Pass. Now we're getting into big problems. Chalas, they smear with egg. Or now the egg they smear on a chalas, so insignificant, it's so small, it could be that's not really a problem. But dealing over here with bread, that they did smear a significant amount of egg. So now, in addition to the problem of pasakum, you have bishulakum. Oh, so you're mixing into one object. Din of pasakum and bishulakum, is much much worse. Also, mishum habeitzim shel aviyesh b'chem mishum bishulei oivdei kochavim v'yosim akikim shenefim barzel. Then he talks about a kashrus issue: those wafers that are baked on barzel in certain types of stores, certain types of factories. The yesh locho shenim shachah barzel beis a shuman, and they would smear the barzel with fat, with chazir. Ois asuim mucholini mishum b'liyas isu. They're just telling over here that just because something is not a problem because of paspalter, just make sure that it's kosher. And many of the many factories and many bakeries, they smear their ovens with chazer, and that's another, that's a kashrus issue. Hey, pas Yisrael shenefu oved kochavim godami pas oved kochavim. Pas Yisrael that was baked by a goy. So you have bread of a Jew. The Jew owns the bread, and in other words, it's owned by the Jew. But it was baked by a guy, is gorua, gora, it's worse, mipas, oyvei kechavim, because we also mishum bishulei oyvei kechavim, im loyhichshir sataner behashlochas eitz, unless you will machshir the tanner by throwing a piece of wood into the oven. Just because bread is, the bread belongs to a Jew, it's still called pasakum. If the guy actually bakes the bread, then the goy has baked the bread, it's aser. V'tzrichim lizor b'zeh, k'shashochim la'afos, so litzlois etzel nachtem, evgachavim, sh'ayishol, when we send our dough to be baked by the bakers, of the non-Jewish bakers, sh'ayishol yashlech etzel chataner, that the Jew has to throw a spark, a piece of wood into the oven, or sh'yanich ha'yishol sapas, or the Jew should put the bread into oyamachvas, l'sech chataner, that it should not be a problem of pas akum, or it should not be a problem of bishul akum. Dvav. Davar she'ena nechel k'moishuch, and now he gets into the discussion of bishul. Okay, just a little bit of halachas of bishul. Davar she'ena nechel k'moishuch, chaisenum cannot be when it's raw. The rules of bishulakum only apply to things that cannot be eaten in a raw state. For example, water. Are you allowed to go in to have coffee from a guy? Is there a problem of bishul? Absolutely not. Because water can be eaten, can drink water that's not been cooked. So what is the guy doing? Anything that can be eaten in its raw state is not a problem of bishulakum. Davar she'ena nechel k'moishuch chai, but if things that cannot be eaten in the raw state, like certain types of meat generally you don't eat when it's raw. You don't eat potatoes raw. These things need to be baked, need to be cooked, need to be prepared. V'gam, also the second condition is oil al shulchan melachim. It has to be choshev lelafa espayas apas to come with the bread oil parperet or it's some type of appetizer. Shabishloy oitzloy of gechavim afil b'chli Yisrael, even if it's cooked in the kelim of Yisrael and in the house of Yisrael. Oser mishum bishule oyved kechavim. Aval davar shunechel kamo shuchai. Something which can be done when it's raw. Oyshu davar shenu chashav esnach chashav ein oyle al shluchem olachim ein mishum bishulak kechavim. Vein lachush la kelim the stam kelim in b'neyam. You don't have to be concerned about the kelim. Stam kelim are einam b'neyam. So if you go and a guy gives you something, a guy he has a kettle he uses to cook water. So the kelim amutar. Let's say you have a kettle. A guy has a guy, it's his kettle. And he only uses it to heat up water. It's mutar. Because there's no concern for blios. He's not using the kettle for anything other than water. And even if he did, it's more than 24 hours since the last time he used it, assuming that is his case. And as far as the keli being treif, because it's bishul avikachavim, it's not bishul, because since he's using it for water, and water is something which is nechal commercial chai, there's no prohibition whatsoever.
So you can go in and buy commercially
made
coffee and
tea. Yes, there's no shail of bishul akum when it comes to coffee and tea. That's not called bishul. There's no issue on those things. Let's see, Dala. Laugh is
basically
on the back.
Cleans it? Doesn't make a difference.
Well, like on the airport, you go on a plane, right? So the shayla is: Do they use these things for other things which may not be kosher? Problem is vending machines. You go to a hospital, and you go to the different place where you get a cup of coffee in a vending machine. Problem is those vending machines, they dispense not just coffee through that spout. The same spout dispenses hot chocolate, and dispenses soups and all the things. So the problem is those things that it dispenses may not be kosher. So then you can't buy coffee from that type of vending machine. But you have gone on the airplane where they have special machines that are used to prepare the coffee, and nothing goes in there other than the coffee. So most poskim say there's no problem on an airplane. You're allowed to take coffee on an airplane. I know Rabbi Belsky, someone was with him on an airplane, and he was sitting next to the winter wedding, and he took coffee. He took coffee from the
steward.
The rolls are not kosher. I mean, the rolls, and it's worse than pasakim. Okay, let's see the bottom. Dalak on the bottom. Lafis by sapasim. When the same oichlam besudas shachris min dagan, luvushal mechalav yeshem kluim kugoin oires v'demayim. What about in our country when we eat different types of danishes, types of grain that are cooked with milk, and they have their kluim, they're roasted, they're roasted like with oires,
rice crispy.
Vidoy mayim ayin b'taras mayim shemivar sham oifen asiyasam shemar sichim oisam etchila idei kimor. Whatever that word is, mevay umeviav shem oisam v'achak kach ma'avim oisam l'rega derech cheder mechumam al yidei gez. Lasais marisam chol brown to make them look dark. Vehevi sham mehagoin Rav Yosef Hengen she'ein boy iser bishul akum mishum detzoch shial al shluchim molochim davka lelafes boy v'loy b'soich machol. That's not. It has to be not b'tur machol itself. So Rice Krispies, cereals, cold cereals that are made through cooking. That's what he's addressing. Corn flakes, Rice Krispies, all the whole aisle. What?
They're not made for cooking.
Some of them are.
The machines that squeeze them.
There are different ways. There are different types of cornflakes. Cornflakes is different. There's a whole different shot. There's the real cornflakes and there's the Shivsha brand. That's the difference in the bracha. The good stuff, the real Kellogg's cornflakes is made by pressing the corn. That's why the bracha is hadama. That's why it's supposed to make Adam on Kellogg's cornflakes, because that's really corn. It's real corn. Whereas if you buy the Yeshivisha brand, Kemach cornflakes, or Yeshivisha brand, it's pulverized, it's powder. And it's made by reconstituting powder, so once it's made into power, it loses the shame corn. It's no longer hadama. It becomes a shahakal. So you have to really know what kind, when you eat cornflakes, you have to know how the cornflakes were made. If you make a hadama, or do you make a shahakal? If the corn was turned into a powder, then you make a shahakal. If it was pressed, then you make a hadama. But put that aside. Let's deal with, you go into any supermarket, there's a whole aisle of every type of cereal you could ever imagine. There are more cereals than there are people. Some of these cereals, I have no idea how they're made, but some of the cereals that appear, some of them are made through, there's a cooking in the process. Whether
the cereals are roasted, huh?
So and it's roasted. It's I don't know. I don't know the answer. I don't know. Some of the cereals, there is some degree of cooking, halachic cooking. What is cooking in the dictionary form of cooking, and there's cooking in halacha. Cooking in halacha can mean there's some heat and there's some moisture that may be enough for it to be called in halacha to be called cooking. So the shaila is, if this is done in a factory in some type of plant and there's no Jew who puts on the fire, it's done by a goyim, is this a problem of bishul akon? So the answer is cold cereal is not called, according to Ikar Hagadid, is not called oyle al shulchan melachim. Oh, but the President of the United States also has Cheerios for breakfast. So Teretz says, that's what he says over here. That's not what it means. It means lalafes boyasapas, not where the food itself is the meal. When the cereal itself is the main course, that's not what Chazal mean. Oyle al shulchan melachim. That's what he explains over here. She'ein boyis bishlakam bishum nitzoch sheyale al shulchan melachim dafka lalafes bo. In order for it to be called shulchan melachim, it has to accompany the bread. V'loy b'tor machal bifnei atzmo lisboa. So since cereal is the main course, that does not fit into the description of l'lapo espeya sapas.
If you use cornflakes to coat cutlets.
Okay, as a coating. Right, then it's a problem. That's already called lafis bayasabas, because then it goes on, then it goes, it's part of the meal, it's part of one of the courses. So if it's a course in a meal, then it's a problem. But if it's part of it's the meal itself, that's not a problem, and then there's no prohibition of another time. Okay, he disagrees. He holds that's not the time. Another reason why he holds these cornflakes, because he holds in halacha, it's not bishul. It's not called bishul. It's called frying. It's called whatever it is. Another reason why you can be makel. The lean nearer the oires hakluyim that cornflakes. Ain oy ruim shein anu ruim shein oy ruim lachila el ayidei shneis demachem cholav. You have to add milk. No one eats raw cornflakes. I do, but generally, it's not made to be eaten alone. It's made to be eaten together with milk. And that's another leniency. When the item itself is not royal achil, the way it is, even though this object has been prepared by a goy, it has been cooked by a goy, that's not in the category of Chazal's prohibition of bishul akum. Bishul has to be something that's eaten the way it is. It's a finished product. Does not need to be dissolved in a liquid. Number two, it has to be lalafes boyasapas, something which accompanies bread. You serve bread, and with the bread, you serve this to accompany the bread. When the thing itself is the main course, that's not in Chazal's definition of bishul akum. And the third reason he says that these type of things in the halacha, it's not really called bishul. It's some high tech form of transferring rice into something edible. Does not involve the halachic form of bishul and its mutz. The bottom line is cold, so they say, as it says in the books, that cold cereals, just a categorical rule, I looked in one of these books yesterday to prepare, cold cereals are not in the category of bishul akum, and there's no issue, you don't need any special hechsher on cold cereals, that it should be not a problem of bishul akum. Okay, we'll stop here, we'll continue with Mirtz Hashem, maybe tomorrow we'll take a 5-minute break. And then we'll try to learn until 12:06, Daven Mincha.
Next week you change
it to 12:06. Okay, so they tell the guy 12:44.
Does have hashgach, doesn't it? No?
I know the Mashkiach, he's a friend of mine. Shelly Goldsmith.
But it's four Kellogg's. I'm telling you, one is Goldstein and it's straight. Because the Seventh-day Adventists have on their site, it says the Feirish, that it's used, pig's fat is used to make this peanuts. They use...
Who used the fat?
There are a couple types of planters. You can have two planters next to another. The glass jar will have the OU, and the and the printer jar will have a K.
Different factory.
And they use different things for the peanuts. And the Seventh-day Adventists on their site said that this peanuts are made with pigs...
Kaiserschmarrn's.
With the...
Lard.
And I called them up. I called up planters, and I said... Who's your rabbi? And they said, we don't need a rabbi. I said, you have a K, New York State, you need a rabbi, give me the rabbi. They gave me the rabbi, whoever his name is, and he has his father's grandfather in the business. He has a 14-page shetel that the pig's fat is Yovesh, and it's this year it's Mutter. It was dried bones, and it became dust.
Ah,
he published it.
Like the
jello.
Right. And that's what he bases his heter on.
So the jello likes it.
He does it. He adds it.
Interesting.
You know,
interesting story.
I'll pull up shell.
Pull it up. I was very upset about it. Because, you know, it's the K, and they say, you have a rabbi, and, you know, the Goyim know not to eat it.
Two Polish maids.
Is that right?
And... They didn't know that my mother still remembers Polish. One tells the other one that when the Bala Buster's not in the house, she makes everything tarfus every day.
It was the 69th Fifth Avenue.
Which is that?
Okay. Yep.
Can't.
I went in to Kellogg's is the flat of Massachusetts.
I call up these rabbis a lot of times when I'm doing something deep. I call up, I say, who's the rabbi, and I call them up.
Yeah, and they give you the idea.
A lot of times you know what they base the mashgaf on.
Palio Mozzarella has a K.
No, it's just a K.
So who is it?
He died or
is it? No, Ray died. No, but it's not. It's a conservative rabbi.
Yeah, it's a lot of that. And you have a couple of muskies.
So I asked him one time, he said 420. So,
I didn't have the red saffron.
They had a kind of a gathering day Sunday night. The yard sale. I have a G stove, it's a good garbage.
I have the old stove in
fire? No, I don't have that. I have a, you know,
You have a fireplace. There's nothing to break on. There's nothing mechanical.
Tell us, Dick,